Basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 147 of the NLSC podcast. Yes, the NLSC podcast, your source for basketball video game chatter. I am your host, Andrew. I am joined by my co-host, Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey, everyone.
And I felt quite good about that intro, Ben. I didn't stumble. That was actually first take this time.
Yes. it was the last 2 weeks it had been, well, the previous two podcasts had been, had to do two takes.
At least last week I stumbled over it. Even in the take that we left in, I kind of stumbled over it because, you know, I've only been doing, 130, 140 podcasts of the 147 so far. So, you know. Well, you know, I pride myself in my digital broadcasting abilities. We've been doing this for a while, and, well, there we go. Hope you enjoyed the intro. And that's all for the podcast. Job is done, you know. Quit while we're ahead.
Yep.
No, good show this week. Some interesting topics. More news is breaking. Actually got some quite early, but we've still got some tidbits to talk about, Ben. In the preview season, kind of.
Which is good, because that definitely makes our show a little bit more engaging instead of like, so what are we going to talk about for the next hour and a half? So,
well, that's right. You know, we've been getting some great topic suggestions from people, and we have some more this week. But yeah, when there isn't any news, you really have to manufacture some discussion about the basketball games, at least. The NBA is still going, so we do have that. But yes, did get another tidbit about NBA Live 17, which we'll tip off the show with this week. And I just want to give a shout-out to Cedric, 22 Cedric. He was the one who gave us the heads-up on Twitter, and I've also posted this in the forum as well. But interesting note about NBA Live 17 this week, a new tidbit. Basketball skill development coach and actually a former Harlem Globetrotter, Derek Grant, has tweeted out a short video, mentioning that he's been taking part in some motion capture sessions for NBA Live 17. And the clip he showed, he was taking on a defender off the dribble and putting up a shot. Some nice moves that he was displaying, as you might expect from a former Globetrotter. Yeah, it's great to see them bringing in some talented people to up the mocap game, because obviously animations, as we've discussed before, has been a big issue in NBA Live since the reboot. So good news all around there.
It's good to see, you know, that they're bringing it, and it seems quite early in the year, I guess. I don't know. I guess, you know, they're not having to worry too much about building an engine from scratch sort of thing. It doesn't feel like it's, too late in the year in that sense. So, no, I'm really happy to see that, you know, they're bringing in and doing a lot of stuff, and hope, you know, that they use it as a way of not just having one-man animations, and that, and sort of really helps the animators if they have multiple people where they can understand the scenario better and create the animations that would be more suited and realistic, and instead of stiff, rigid sort of...
More lifelike, yes. Absolutely. I mean, it remains to be seen, because it isn't like they haven't been doing mocap the last few years. But obviously something has gone wrong in the polishing and the implementing of the animations into the game, so hopefully that's less of an issue. But they're obviously taking mocap seriously, bringing in a skill development coach who has played for the Globetrotters to perform these moves and really, I guess, work on that dribbling game. MP3 brought this up in the comments and mentioned that, and it is a very good point, that one of the weak points of NBA Live 16 and certainly 15 and 14 as well has been the post game, you know, really bringing back, and as you mentioned before, the own the paint moves from NBA Live 08, 09. I think 09 was the one that you mentioned as being the really good one.
That was the one where, for me, that was like probably one of the strongest post games. And
I remember that.
Just remember using, and not I wouldn't say abusing, but, you know, taking, using it to...
It was fun to play in the post, the up and unders and everything, and the different hooks.
Ways to set screens and get the pick and rolls, and then, you know, use your big guy and get those easy baskets around the basket, you know. And then the fact that they actually had a variety of moves...
That's what they're lacking, and the ones that are in there don't look so hot, to be honest. I mean, they have added some nice up and unders and running hooks and such in the paint in NBA Live 15 and 16 in particular, but there's still some of the layups, some of the dunks, not they look very kind of last gen, and in fact some kind of date back to the PS2. I'll certainly recognize them from NBA Live 06 era.
Yep.
And just be able to get some more of those, you know, moves in the low post and the high post and just short jumpers and things like that. It's just important they get that. It's nice to see. So hopefully they bring in some big guys as well to really polish up the post game. The other thing, of course, they need to do is work on the defense. You know, it can't be too cheesy to score inside. I mean, at the moment, you can pretty much, when you have an open lane, really get to the basket very easily. And at the other end, your teammates often stand around and watch the CPU drive straight through. So unless you take control of someone off ball, bigs don't necessarily move over and clog the paint. So that's an AI issue, obviously, and that needs to be addressed. But no, it is cool to see this and get another glimpse of something this early in the year.
I was going to suggest earlier, you know, we've talked about in past podcasts and that, you know, what could Live do or bring into it to, you know, Harlem Globetrotter mode, like where you have the team in it that, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Harlem Globetrotters is something else. Yeah.
You know, sort of.
Well, you know, I just wrote the Way Back Wednesday this week, and this week's Way Back Wednesday focused on the extra teams in NBA Live 2004, the Bobcats, a year before they made the debut, and the Spanish national team, which were a bonus team in the Spanish version, were left in the English version. We were able to unlock them, as you may recall. So, yeah, why not get an extra in the form of the Globetrotters? I don't think it's going to be leading to that, but nevertheless... That would be cool, something different. But so that was cool that Derek Grant did post that, and a nice little tidbit. I have to also admit that when I was writing up the news post on the main page for that, I kept wanting to write Darian Grant, and I didn't know why. And then of course I remembered Jerian Grant, the player for the New York Knicks. He's son of Harvey Grant, former NBA player, and therefore nephew of Horace, Harvey's twin, and the brother of Jirai and Jeremiah, all three players. So, yeah, not Darian, it's Derek. But started to get mixed up there. But, yeah, thank you to Derek Grant for putting that out there on Twitter, and to Cedric for giving us the heads up, because that's a nice little tidbit to start off this week with and get some, as we said, get some news pretty early in the year before the real preview season tips off.
Yep.
Last week we mentioned NBA Live Mobile, which has been launched. I believe it's actually now in other areas. I'm seeing people outside of Canada also talking about playing it, I believe. Well, we'll double-check myself on that. I need to post a bulletin about that, actually. But it's actually been getting some pretty good reviews, Ben.
Yeah, well, that's good.
It's basically, it's kind of Ultimate Team on the go, I guess you could say.
Yep.
It's very much like that, although it does have gameplay as well. It's not just card collecting. But people are responding pretty well to it, and that's certainly a good news that, you know, there's that much positivity around the NBA Live brand, and hopefully NBA Live doesn't just become a mobile game, but I don't think they will with all the money they've put into it and what they're working on. Obviously, they're working on NBA Live 17 for consoles, so... But it is nice to see them going into the other platforms. As we said, we'd love to see a full console port to the PC. But as long as the brand is making money and getting positive reviews and the brand awareness, so much the better for NBA Live after the rocky reboot.
Yeah, I guess the mobile space is a pretty big one at the moment, and it doesn't look to be like too... pay to play, from what I've seen. I think
there is an element to it,
but it's it's not
like any free to play game, basically. But
it's not like a core element to it, like just pure selling point. It is actually playable and yeah, like not just collecting card. Yeah, so it's the kind of thing. There's actually you can actually physically play a game in it, which is really cool. So.
And it's being updated. They're talking about. I noticed Pat mentioned. That's Peter, of course, mentioned some things about adding new features, and the Live King, Steve, he also mentioned that as well. So that's cool to see them continuing to work on that game. And I know there's been some talk, you know, are they focusing on this rather than patching or fixing up the game? I would suggest it's different teams.
Yep.
You know, a different team working on the mobile version as opposed to that. I understand the frustration, of course. You know, it's there's still some players who don't have the proper face scans, although not all players do sit for face scans. But it's kind of apples and oranges as to which, you know, one issue in the console game is not affected by the mobile game being created. But I do understand the frustration there. But yeah, it is good to see NBA Live Mobile doing well. Unfortunately, I can't check it out for myself because it is apparently not compatible with any of my devices. So yeah, I will, I guess, just stick to PS4.
Yeah,
if I must play my PS4, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bad thing at all.
Yeah, you know, if you pay enough for these consoles, you might as well get some good.
Yeah, I reckon.
Might as well enjoy them. But no, that is good. And if there's any anything else on that game, we'll definitely keep talking about it as much as we can. Again, without playing it ourselves, that we're really talking about second information. But I am hearing good things, so good stuff. We've also talked about the updates for NBA Live 16 before. It's been a mixture of good and bad news. We had some scans come through recently, new face scans for Kristaps Porzingis and a couple of other players, and the All-Star logo. The All-Star logos, the All-Star jerseys, court, etc. So we have us. We're getting the content. Ultimate Team. They put through the patch. The big moments. That was fantastic. Actually, this was pointed out to me, and I realized that I actually had an example of it in my Ultimate Team, but apparently rookies can't dunk in NBA Live 16. It looks like there might be a problem with the dunk package for all the rookies, because you take a Karl Anthony Towns or Bobby Portis or Jahlil Okafor, and they won't dunk at all. So some of the point guards and such probably shouldn't be dunking, so that's not a problem, but... when I go and try to dunk with any of those players, and I test this out for myself, and it's absolutely true, they kind of can't dunk, which is a problem. And I realized playing for a while in Ultimate Team, I had Willie Cauley-Stein as my center. At the moment, I've got Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
I got him from the auction house, but I was using Cauley-Stein for a while, and come to think of it, always did a layup, never dunked, despite having a dunk rating of 76. So obviously, it doesn't match up with whatever dunk package has been assigned to him. So I did actually tweet to Erica, who's doing the rosters now, and mentioned that the rookies aren't dunking and there might be a problem with the dunk package for the next roster update. And she did like the tweet, so obviously she's seen it and acknowledged it. So I've done all I can. but now, obviously, she is open to that feedback, so I thought I'd send her a friendly message about that. So hopefully either the update that's coming this week or next, perhaps, we'll hopefully see that. Last week's update, unfortunately, came right after the deadline. It must have been finalized before the deadline, so none of the deals were included. Hopefully they are this week. But as we've said before, all the more reason for NBA Live 17 to have custom roster editing.
It's probably not too bad of a circumstance, given that something had happened during it, which we'll obviously get into later. Gosh. So, yeah, they would have had to almost double the work in one element of it. So with obviously, yeah,
there is actually something, yeah, that they can fix up as a result and make it accurate first time around. So that's actually a blessing in disguise, I suppose. But they are still pushing through the roster updates, which is nice. But hopefully they can fix up that dunking issue. Still issues with the standing dunks as well when you're under the rim. Really needs to be polished up. Not just Ultimate Team, other modes as well. Honestly, I'm wondering whether they should bring back the dunk button.
I think so. I think it could minimize the inconsistency issues, and you know for certain then if you are going for a dunk, then that was the intent. So,
and the other great thing about the dunk button in the day was if you pressed it outside of the sort of the gather range for most players, they'd put up a floater, and we want manual control of the floaters again, so... Two birds with one button, I guess.
Yes.
So that's might be something that I mention as I'm putting together my wish list that I'll be posting in the forum and sending along to the developers, of course, along with everyone else's suggestions. And to keep those coming, hit up the NBA Live 17, it's the NBA Live 16 forum, where we have the Live 17 wish list at the moment. Not going to open up the Live 17 forum just yet, a little early. Same for the NBA 2K17 wishlist in the NBA 2K16 section. So check that out and get your feedback in ASAP. Another issue, I've been playing a lot of Ultimate Team this year, as I did last year as well. I thought, Ben, I'd actually fire up NBA Live 15 and 14 just to see whether the Ultimate Team servers were up and running.
Yep.
And they are. Oh. The servers are still open, still up and running for NBA Live 14 and 15. Not a lot of people playing them, obviously. In fact, the auction house, the auction block, or the sell pile, I guess, in NBA Live 15, very, very sparse. As you might imagine, most people have moved on to NBA Live 16. If they're not playing 2K, they're playing Live 16. Lots of cards, obviously, in the Live 16 auctions. Not so much in the Live 15. I had a look at the Legends, and somebody put up a Christmas version of Rick Barry, and that was the only Legend card available in the Live 15 server. But nevertheless, they haven't been shut down yet, so...
That's pretty good. I mean, considering, you know, it's usually around the...
Well, 12 months is all they guarantee, most developers, for an annual release. So that was interesting. I thought I'd do that. Probably not going to go back and play those games because Live 16 is further along, as is 2K, obviously. So, no, I did think that was interesting and worth mentioning. So here's another interesting story this week. I use the word interesting a lot, but this certainly is interesting. We talk about what we want to see out of the games, and we all want to see the realism and accuracy and all that good stuff. Mike Wang Baluba conducted an interview with Forbes.com, talking about the problem that Stephen Curry poses for them in developing 2K. And, you know, we talk about there being video game numbers, and Stephen Curry's been putting up some video game numbers, but in terms of being able to code it so Stephen Curry can put up video game numbers and not be a cheat code or too cheap, kind of like a Tom Chambers in Lakers versus Celtics or a Bo Jackson in the football game in the early 90s, you know, one of those really cheap characters, cheap players, you know, how do you account for Stephen Curry's amazing shooting this season without being really cheap or making him either too cheap to use by the user or too cheap in the hands of the CPU? Which is definitely a problem in the hands of the CPU with the way the CPU can sometimes take over. It's interesting that they're actually struggling to represent Curry, because Curry is not only putting up video game numbers, but better than video game numbers this season.
it makes it interesting to see, you know, given the new hardware and things we can do and all that stuff, and given what the actual players are capable of these days, it's how much of a drastic change from their traditional formulas that they do things that they're going to have to basically reinvent the wheel to
account for this one player who's doing some really out of this world things.
Yeah, or, you know, a couple of players that are, you know, not just one entirely in that, but where they having to defy the way that traditionally games were coded in that sense, or the players were rated in that. So, I could see that being an issue further down the track as, I guess, humans become more superhuman. I don't know.
Well, we do have some quotes here from the Forbes article. Taking threes off the dribble also definitely discouraged in NBA 2K, says Mike Wang, gameplay director of NBA 2K. Especially after over-dribbling beforehand. The formula, which also incorporates a lot of advanced metrics, has mostly worked to the point that the last couple of 2K games have received universal praise for its balanced and realistic gameplay. These rules keep digital basketball shooters in check, apply to real-life basketball playing after all. I say mostly because there's a dude named Wardell Stephen Curry, Jr., whose ability to make insanely difficult three-pointers has thrown all the basketball conventional wisdom out the window, which it certainly has. To be completely honest, we are still looking for ways to better translate his game into NBA 2K. He's a rule breaker when it comes to jump shooting. He becomes a problem in the video game world, where we've been trying to train our gamers that certain types of shots should be rewarded versus others. And that's the thing. Curry hits some ridiculous shots.
Yep.
And shots that if you made in the game, your opponent would rage quit. If the CPU makes them, you're going to throw the controller and say that it's cheese. But he makes them. And that's the obviously, they can do it and make him do it. But then how do you do it so it's balanced?
It doesn't seem rigged.
He doesn't seem rigged, exactly. Says they've already tweaked the gameplay a bit to give Digital Curry a bit more leeway in jacking threes department, but they still want to discourage over-dribbling hero ball. But they're on it. We're going to have to invest even more time in future iterations to really let Steph be Steph in future versions of NBA 2K. So their own cover player is causing them some problems with his amazing play. So, but again, it really speaks volumes about what Curry is doing this season with his efficiency and shooting and just the kind of shots he's hitting. Because, I mean, we've seen some hot shooting before. We've seen players have the 50, 40, 90 seasons in their percentages. But with the kind of shots that he's taking and the volume, especially, is more than half his shots are from 3-point range, and that's which is insane in itself. So it's it's pretty crazy.
I'll say, I'll ask a similar question, but you know, if, given the way that hardware and games are developed now compared to back in the day when Jordan was in his prime, would they have the same problem in the scale of a lot of things that with he could do in that, say?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you've seen the highlight against the New Jersey Nets where he jumps and he goes in and around three players and lays it up on the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, again, a player hits that shot when you pack the paint. And I've talked about this in a few articles where, as it pertains to realism in basketball video games. I mean, things like that happen. They shouldn't be happening too much, and by players who don't really do them in real life, obviously. But we have a mentality as gamers that when you do the right action, make the right input, you should succeed. I mean, and I want to do a video about this, actually. I mean, you take a platform game like a Super Mario, for example.
Yep.
You know, how do you win Super Mario? You make your way through the level, and I'm going with old school Mario here because I haven't had a Nintendo console since the 64, so... So let's take a classic one, you know, a Mario 3 on the original Nintendo. Fantastic game. How do you win? You get to the end of the level, reach the goal for the level to complete it. Along the way, avoiding traps, defeating enemies or dodging them. Using pickups, power-ups to your advantage. And, you know, you do everything right. You don't get hit by the enemies. You make all the right jumps and everything. You get to the end of the level. You do everything right with the right input. You expect to win. Desire has a great creed, you know, don't play video games, play basketball.
Yep.
Of course, we are still playing video games, basketball video games. So the mentality is there as gamers to be like, okay, so I've done everything I need to do defensively. I should have blocked the shot or stolen the ball or forced the miss or got the rebound. You know, I've done everything right. Why did I still fail?
Yep.
But obviously, when you're going against a Stephen Curry or a LeBron James or any other scorer who's difficult to stop, sometimes, just as in real life, they're going to get their points, you know, despite your best efforts.
Yeah.
So that is a bit of reality that we have to keep in mind when we play games, because we, on one hand, we want that reality, but on the other hand, we want to beat the game and know how to master the game and think, oh, well, I've mastered the controls, I know how to win. I know what to do with the games. I'm not just mashing buttons. You know, I'm not just button mashing. I know how to play the game. I'm doing everything right, yet I'm not stopping the player or I'm not making the shot, because in real life, you can do everything right and still come up empty.
That's true.
So it's one of those hard things to really translate to games.
Yeah, I agree with that philosophy. And the video side of the brain, like playing... Yeah, you'll get frustrated by it, but yeah, in real life, there'll be moments when you're playing as best you can on in defense, and that player will still get the shot, and it could be that, you know, you still get the little tip of a block, but it's not enough to deflect the shot entirely in that. So, yeah, but I guess when it seems to be happening too much, where it feels that rigged or scripted, that's when I can see like the controllers or rage quits and things.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, balance is still important, and it should feel that you've got as much chance of a realistic chance of doing everything. I mean, we talk about defense. Obviously, at the other end of the floor, you can run a play to perfection, get your players a wide open shot with a great shooter, and miss. That will happen in real life too.
Yep.
You know, no one shoots 100%. As much as Curry's been shooting the lights out, he's not hitting 100% of his shots somehow. So, you know, and you have to just kind of accept the result. But as you said, when it feels too scripted, like the CPU's like, ah, well, I need to win. So suddenly your hot shooter who's been shooting well all game is suddenly not going to hit a shot at all.
Yep.
And I'm just going to drill 10 fadeaway, turnaround fadeaways from 19 feet. They're all going to swish in the next, you know, the next 10 shots that I take as a CPU. It does feel a false difficulty. It feels unbalanced. It feels unfair, which is again what you're getting at there. So yeah, it's you need the realism, but you also need the balance, and then you also need to let the user feel control. So that's why when people say that the producers are lazy and stupid and everything for not getting it right, I mean, you want to take real life and put it into a video game? That is easier said than done. So, you know, and that's not to say that I will always give developers a break over problems, because there are things that I think could be done better and that need legacy issues that need to be fixed and everything, and obviously, you know, stuff I want to see get better. I think they really want to see that too, but if it was that easy to make a basketball game that played a perfect game of realistic basketball, don't you think it would have happened by now?
Yeah, and given how long, you know, it's basketball video games have been around now, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you go back and play some of those old games with realistic tactics, and they kind of play along. I've mentioned this before, NBA Live 95, you try and play that realistically with a... Like, you go back and play NBA Live 95, like trying to play NBA Live 16 or NBA 2K16, it kind of plays along as much as it can, but then it's like, well, you know, I'm... Well, it's obviously not actually thinking that, but then it's kind of like it says, you know what, I'm an old game, and this is the best I can do with my AI, so... here's some video game tactics for you. But it's always kind of been there, and you can definitely see the improvement over the years, and they're getting closer and closer to it, but it's a strange philosophy that we both kind of have. That we have as gamers, you know,
yeah.
The two minds that we have, wanting to win, but wanting the realism, wanting to dominate, but also not taking this into account. Yeah, so it's easier said than done, but it's a hard challenge that you know, our friends at EA and 2K are taking on. But it feels like they're inching closer to it, and that's promising.
Yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, either by the end of this generation or sometime early next generation, that we'll have a, you know, we'll be a lot closer to having something that could, you know, find that balance and that we've all been looking for. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, the Oculus is right there around the corner, so soon we'll be on the court ourselves, yeah. Maybe. No, our My Player right there, you know. It's actually I'm reading a book by I've got it right in front of me, by Ernest Cline, Ready Player One, where it's set in a like a dystopian future where people spend most of their time in the Oasis.
Oh, yeah.
In this virtual world. Definitely a great book, and I'm not going to mention any kind of digital services because no one's paying us to do it, but certainly if you want to check it out, Ernest Cline, Ready Player One, that's a fun book to read if you're a gamer and like a 80s and 90s geek culture as well. So just throwing that out. See, we do everything here on the podcast, recommend books, talk about basketball video games, so yeah, I'll just throw that out there. But I mean, we've talked, obviously, and touched on it there, about the improvements we want to see about basketball games. In the meantime, we are playing the basketball video games that we have in our hands right now. So it has come time to talk about our week in basketball gaming. And Ben, I'll throw it over to you first. What have you been doing this week?
I've squeezed in a bit of time for 2K. I only managed to get to play two games because I wanted to try and prepare a little bit for this podcast beforehand. So I played, obviously, continuing with my career, had one game in that, and sort of just, you know, discussing what we were talking about, you know, finding that balance and things and that sort of frustration in, you know, things feeling scripted and that teams up by 7 with like 95 seconds left of the game and your team mm-hmm. still loses because teammates or yourself can't hit shots that you were hitting, or everything turns into a turnover or a what the hell moment kind of thing. So yeah, that is sort of like frustrating in that part where you couldn't beat the Hawks when you're up by 7 with 95 seconds left. And then after that, I played a Play Now game between the Heat and Warriors, which is from basically today's game. And
it's the NBA Today
yep,
in action?
Yeah, and Yeah, I got my ass handed to me, as I would expect. It's probably never a good idea playing a Mycria game first and then going into like a 5-on-5 game where you actually have to
Yeah.
control all five players, because sometimes you forget. Like, even sometimes, like, at the tip off, you forget to jump, because if your player's not a center, you don't have to do it, that
You're
part.
waiting for the teammate to take control,
Yeah,
yeah.
and
Yeah.
occasionally on defense, you know, when you're trying to control the player to guard someone in particular, but you're realizing, wait, it's not the player who you think it is, and the player is all the way running into the crowd as well. It's like, oh wait, and you have to,
Yes, I've done that. And suddenly you're, and of course, 2K, you can kind of dive into the crowd, so it's.
yeah, and then it's like 5 seconds or so to get back onto the court, and then because, you know, you're interacting with the crowd and all that stuff. It's like, just
Hi, Mom.
yeah,
Just
it's like, hurry up, damn it.
yeah.
So yeah, there's those moments of awkwardness and stuff where you forget, you know, that you're playing a normal 5-on-5 game again, not sole focus on one player. So yeah,
It's a different gameplay
oh
experience, you know, and it's funny, you know, we touched on reactions before, you know, about realism and things like that, but when you only really play one mode a lot, you kind of get a different impression of the game, because if you play the franchise modes or the career modes or the team building, the card collecting modes, it's a very different experience because of the way the teams are put together or the control you have or the basic role you have on the floor, whether you're controlling everyone or just the one person, the one player. So, yes, I mean, people who say, "Oh, this is a terrible game." Well, okay, what mode are you playing? You know, if you're and going to live for a moment, I mean, the off ball and teammate AI in Rising Star in 14 and 15 wasn't too hot. So, if you were just playing that, it was a very different experience to playing, you know, a Dynasty mode or Ultimate Team. So, it kind of affects your perspective of the game. And again, you know, just in case anyone thinks I'm trying to defend NBA Live 14 as a fantastic game, not my point. I'm just saying that your impressions change based on the mode, and how it changes. And yeah, so you did get you say you get your ass handed to you. So you didn't do as well as the real Heat, who did quite well against the Warriors.
No.
Thought they were going to win at one point. Did you have Bosch in the lineup?
No. It was Amari starting and then Whiteside coming in off the bench and that. But I was only playing about 6 minute quarters, but Wade did score 32 points that game, like he did in today's game. So that
Oh,
was,
there you go. Yeah.
yeah.
So you played that before the real game,
No,
or?
it was after. It was actually just a few hours ago. So yeah.
I was after. Okay. So I was going to say that would be pretty eerie if you'd done it
Yep.
beforehand. That's better than our bold predictions right there. So.
So yeah, that was I think I lost around about 20. It was like 80 something to 60 something. But I admit, like, sort of about halfway through it, when things weren't going too great, I was like, do I just play through or quit sort of thing? I just sort of lost a little bit of interest after just sort of, yeah, not getting things, you know, like from just the miss
Yeah, I
from
mean
the early
that's
stages of, you know, getting used to playing from a micro to and that. So I think that sort of hurt, and it took a while to adjust. And then obviously, like in my career, you know, I haven't been playing with the Heat, you know, because of my team. I'm
exactly. Not used
on
to the
the
tactics and teammates, yeah.
yeah. So, you know, trying to get used to the players and that you have on the team and their timing. And again, because my career, you know, you start to get more familiar with your timing for your shots,
Exactly.
and then you got
Yeah.
a whole different 12 other players, or even to like get used to their timing. It was like, yeah, it was.
When you've just picked it up again,
Yeah, yeah.
when you haven't been playing like a my GM or my league with a team, and you've gotten used to
Yeah.
the way everyone plays. Yeah,
Yeah, so.
absolutely. And it's, you know, that's another interesting point about realism, because if you do get frustrated in real life and start, you know, trying to mount a comeback with a lot of threes or something and trying desperation tactics, quite often you're just going to fall further behind.
Yep.
And I have found that in both Live and 2K in recent years, that if you do play that measured, sensible chipping away at the lead and making the good run, you can come back from a big deficit. Depending on how well you play and the plays you have, and whether just how big the hole is, you can't always complete the comeback, but just like in real life, you can make a really good run if you're sensible. But if you're sort of losing interest and start, you know, I'll start checking up threes, desperation tactics kind of thing, you'll lose, which again is realistic. So
yeah, well,
it's kind of, it's cool to see that strategy and that element of the game represented. You know, it's, you know, I think, honestly, I think the games are more realistic than a lot of people say. I mean, whenever something goes wrong, it's, oh, geez,
yep,
you know, game sucks, not realistic. But and there are issues when, yes, that is totally true. So don't get me wrong there. But yeah, there it's cool to see those moments. So so you had some fun and you're still going with the My Career. And we threw out some tips last week for people who want to keep their interest in their My Career games beyond the first and second seasons. I've actually still been playing Ultimate Team myself. I need to get into my my league and Dynasty with the Bulls to do the stories, the Tale of Two franchise modes. But I have been playing Ultimate Team. I managed to pick up a few Bulls players, so I'm slowly rebuilding the Bulls to get that trophy. I've done that in the last couple of games, getting all the Bulls players. No Legends yet. I did put together a montage of my NBA Live 15 Ultimate Team highlights, continuing to sharpen my video editing skills because I am enjoying doing the video content for the site recently. But that is actually going to, you know, spoilers, that is going to be next week's Monday tip-off. It is up there as an early sneak peek if you want to check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Subscribe while you're there because we're going to do some more video content in the future, of course. So check that out if you like. And if you forget, it will be there in Monday tip-off. But yeah, I haven't actually been able to get too many legends yet. And the only legends I have, in fact, are the one-game short-term legends from doing the challenges. So I'm hoarding Shaq. And I've got Shaq, Bob Cousy, young Dirk Nowitzki, and young Tim Duncan.
Oh, all right.
So pretty solid legends for one game at least when I want to pull them out and use them. It's going to have to be like a really hard challenge.
When you're playing against the Warriors, I guess.
Yeah, pull those out and see what I can do. But yeah, I mean, I've really gotten into Ultimate Team the last... I do want to get into the franchise mode, but really got into the Ultimate Team the last couple of years, still having some fun with it.
Yeah, this franchise mode I don't want to get into. I think I'm just going to wait till the next content update in terms of like shoes and all that stuff, which I've heard is coming soon, whether it has some of the ones that I've been waiting for and that. Then yeah, that's when I'll get into it and that.
Oh, well, you know how it goes. It's going to drop as soon as we finish recording.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can thank us all for forcing that update through by talking about it. We'll take credit for that one, as we always do. I know, you know, talking to MP3 in the forum, he's looking, mentioned he's looking to start a dynasty. Shout out to MP3, of course. I always appreciate you and TBM, TG So Good, and a lot of our other frequent listeners. Always appreciate you tuning in. Mentioned, and I probably should have done it myself, is start the dynasty after the trade deadline rosters come through, which, of course, for NBA Live 16 will hopefully be this week, in fact. That is an update that is probably going to come through by the time we finish recording, because that comes through every Thursday, US time. But yeah, waiting for those updates sometimes, it's when you kind of get those finalized rosters and those finalized content updates and everything, not necessarily a bad idea, but I do have that already started, so I'm not going to start again.
I think for next year or this year's games that are coming out, I think for like the micro modes, I'll probably wait until later in the year after the release and that to actually play them, just so I can wait for those content update stuff, because unless they add in the rostering editing thing where you could do like in the other modes where you can actually change players, accessories and all that stuff, and then yeah, that'd be good, just so then I wouldn't have to wait to later in the year to actually try that mode again or play that mode and stuff. So instead of just, if you play so early, you just got the default sort of settings.
Although I have to admit, I've had some really fun like dynasties in NBA Live playing from the default rosters I did in, and I had a great console dynasty NBA Live 2004 with the Bulls when I got KG for Marcus Spicer, Jalen Rose, and Roger Mason Jr. I mentioned that trade before. I'll always mention it because I don't know how the hell I pulled it off. I've tried it again, and the CPU won't accept it this time around. So today is my biggest coup, making a trade in the possible video games. You know, Kevin Garnett for Marcus Spicer, Jalen Rose, and Roger Mason Jr. Come on, that's Kwame Brown for Pau Gasol right there. Basically, yeah. that's my Mitch Kupchak moment. So. And the trade AI was the Jerry West gifting the players to me, I guess. So we will continue to talk about what we're playing every single week. Hope you enjoy listening to that. And as always, jump into the forum and or the comments section on the site, of course, and tell us what you're playing every week. You know, we want to get some more discussions going about the actual gameplay. We have lots of patch releases, and that's fantastic. But yeah, we'd love to get some more discussions going, tips and everything about the games themselves. I mean, that's what we've got the forum there for, so feel free to jump in. But speaking of patching, just want to touch on this real quick because it was suggested that we talk a little bit about patching NBA Live 08 and other older games. This is something that I've obviously slowed down on. You've released a couple of updates for NBA Live 06 in the last couple of years, so the Dwayne Wade and the Damian Lillard. Did you do a Damian Lillard title screen as well?
Yeah, I did, because he was the cover boy for
15. Yep. So we still do release stuff from time to time. I do have a few things in the works at the moment. You might have seen me posting releasing a few of them in the last couple of weeks. Had a week where I released a patch, did a video and two columns and a podcast. So I like to think that I'm a pretty hardworking guy in our community, just to toot my own horn again. But I still do release it. But the thing is about patching old games, it is fun to go back and patch them, as you probably would agree with.
Yeah.
Because it's familiar and we've got some great tools for live, and editing live on PC is a little bit easier than 2K, which is one of the reasons I haven't got into 2K modding that much. But of course, you've got the smaller audience. And so if you're doing current rosters or big projects like that, there's a couple I'm working on, like with the Ultimate Jordan roster. And I've released a couple of beta versions of that, sort of working on it when I can and putting out the demo versions, the demo releases. But you got to realize you are working with a smaller audience, which is fine. I mean, there are still people modding Commander Keen out there, which is cool. And they've made some really great unofficial continuations of the story. You know, I don't want to rip on that because they've been doing some fantastic work in that modding community. But you know, you obviously have these niche, and we're already a niche of a niche as PC basketball gamers.
Yeah.
And of course we do cover consoles as well these days, but when you talk about PC basketball gaming, that's a niche of a niche interest. And when you're talking about the ones that have been out for 10 years or so, it's a niche of a niche of a niche. So you know, it's another step up.
It's almost technically hipster niche.
It's hipster level, in hipster inception levels of of nicheness in the in video gaming. But you know, it's great to see people still doing some fantastic work. You know, shout out to Esprat, who, despite his his username, is actually one of the nicest guys in the forum. You know, not a brat at all, doing fantastic work with faces. And I just saw he's made, you know, been experimenting with jersey updates and everything with NBA Live 08. Great work, and Freddie doing some great portraits. You know, shout out to all the people still editing those old games, doing some great work, because it is fun to bring the games up to date. But
The last two title screens that I did was for Live 08, actually.
Live 08, that's right. What did you do for Live 06? Was that the dunk contest gear?
I did do updates of the again, the title screens and that.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, you did release the 08 ones, yeah. Yep. So we're still active in that part of modding every so often, you know, and dip our toes back in there. And as I said, I'm working on some logo updates at the moment, and I've done some player face to coach face conversions. I actually had to change the hairstyle. Who's actually changed the hairstyle for? Tyronn Lue. I actually managed to do almost some proper cyber face editing, actually getting Lou's player face and taking it and putting it on a coach face that had the right short hairstyle instead of the cornrows that he had as a player.
Yep.
So I felt very proud of myself that I got that. So, again, it's something that I do enjoy, still dipping my toe in the water every once in a while. But, yeah, I mean, we do move on. We still post any file additions we get for NBA Live 08 and earlier. You know, if you want to do an NBA Live 95 patch, and upload it to the download section, I'll post it on the main page. I'll post a bulletin. I say this because I made a patch for NBA Live 95 last year as part of our 20th anniversary of live content. More content is coming, by the way. But you kind of do have to move on and do the content that really drives the traffic to the site, as far as what I'm doing, which is why I do the podcast and the news and the other video content and such that I like doing.
Yep.
But yeah, absolutely give it a go once in a while, and certainly encourage anyone, you know, whether it's whatever game you want to mod, if you're passionate about that and you have this, you know, do some creative stuff and share that with the community, by all means do it. You know, just realize that you're making it for a smaller audience, obviously. And if you are in that audience expecting patches for old games, do remember that a lot of people have moved on. You know, we had a great modding community for like Live 2003 through 2008, through 08. But sort of as every game gets older, people do move on.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have moved on to 2K PC, so or console version. So, I mean, do keep that in mind and be patient when you ask for patches for the older game. And the newer games too, but certainly with the older games, because there's not as many people working on them, and people have moved on. But yeah, and it's great to see. And yeah, as you said, I'm sure you agree, a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
To go back every so often and do that.
Actually, just looking at the Live 08 one that I did for Wade, I know it's really clean. I just like the look of it.
It's fun, isn't it, when you make a really good patch? You know, it sounds egotistical, I'm sure, but when you just sort of it comes together. Like, I'm sort of seeing that with the Ultimate Jordan roster. You're just like, yeah, that's... I made that. That's cool. That's, you know... But yeah, I did like the design you did with that with the Wade for the 08, you know?
And
the gear, because nobody had really done that.
No. Yeah, I was the first... As soon as I saw that stuff, because I was the first one to actually do that gear for both the Urban and the Dunk Contest stuff, and I was the first to do the scores, like scorecards and all that stuff for the dunk contest. So I, you know, people were like, "Holy crap!" When I just remember people's reaction to it was awesome. It was like, "Yes, I found a niche thing that no one had thought of doing." So yeah, that was.
Instead of the 20th Kobe Bryant cyberface up
there. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So yeah. You know, I mean, I knew my jerseys were good anyway, but this was something new and obviously that no one had thought about doing. And considering how low resolution a lot of the content for that stuff for those modes were, I mean, it could even do like, because a lot of faces were like Iverson and I think Starbury and Francis and all that. You know, a couple of those faces, you know, they could have been redone with some of the actual community mod ones and all that stuff, instead of these tiny little, I think they were like 64 by 64 pixels faces.
Yeah,
so it was just like really low quality.
Yeah, it's pretty much just to have some people on the sideline with
that
vaguely resembled real people, I guess. But no, it's great to do creative stuff like that. Certainly encourage it from the community. And yeah, we'll probably dip our toe in the water again every once in a while, because it is fun to go back to those old games and see what you can do.
I might actually do a Westbrook one.
Of course, Live 16. So look out for our future releases, of course. They might come here and there. And again, no matter what game you're uploading, by all means, feel free to do it. Feel free to make use of our upload facilities, naturally, so that we don't lose these great updates. You know, upload them to the download section. We're not going anywhere anytime soon, so keep using those upload facilities so that we don't lose those patches. But that's pretty much all we have for the video games this week. A little bit more than I thought. Of course, we always fun to talk about these, our favorite topics. But we have come to the NBA section of the podcast, the real NBA. And we are going to reflect on the trade deadline, which let me down, because that was my bold prediction last week, that we were going to see a big name get traded, and we did not. Apparently, Dwight Howard was very close to going to the Bucks. But they weren't really happy with what the Rockets were demanding, and also they weren't happy with Dwight not opting into the last year of his contract, so they didn't want to give up any valuable assets for a player who could simply walk.
After
half a season rental. Yeah. So that didn't come to pass. All the rumors about Carmelo Anthony didn't come to pass. You know, that some rumors there, although he shot them down himself. So when it came down to it, it was... a sensible trade deadline, maybe. That's maybe the best way, the most positive way I can frame it. Just bringing up some of the trades here. Let's see, completed deals. The Clippers received Jeff Green from Memphis for Lance Stephenson. So the Clippers did get to move Lance Stephenson. That's pretty solid, you know, getting Jeff Green.
Yep.
Now the 76ers received Joel Anthony from the second round pick from the Houston Rockets. They later traded him to the Detroit Pistons. But Dantes, sorry, I can't pronounce his surname. I should have looked it up. Montajunas, Dantes Montajunas, Marcus Thornton from the Rockets. I believe Montajunas. Yeah, I'm butchering it. See, this is why I'm not an announcer. Failed a physical. Anyway, he failed a physical, so that's the great Joel Anthony. That trade has been cancelled. Let me just double check that. Sideline with a back injury. Underwent a post-trade physical examination, which turned up some longer-term concerns. As a result, the trade has been voided, meaning they are returning to the Rockets, while Anthony will land back with the Pistons. In addition, the Pistons will also get back the first-round pick they sent to the Rockets, while the Rockets will return to the 76ers second rounder. So that's been thrown out. And did you see the video they did of Joel Anthony's time in Houston?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was like the tribute, and they got a clip that he had from some promo for the Heat, and he's like, "I'm Joel Anthony, you know, I'm from Canada, and that's about it. Thanks, guys." And it's like a 20-second tribute, like it had this sad music and everything, you know, and thank you, Joel, and you know, Houston Rockets 2016 to 2016. It's good to know that that meme, you know, that it's not just us that has some fun with the greatness of Joel Anthony, who's accomplished more than we will in the NBA. Let's just throw that out there. The Hawks. The Bulls made a huge splash. They got Justin Holiday from the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for Kirk Heinrich, who has played for the Hawks before, although the Bulls originally traded him for the Wizards before he went to the Hawks the first time around. So Captain Kirk is, you know, I don't know, live long and prosper, I guess, for Captain Kirk.
Go where he's boldly gone before.
That's where, yeah, nicely done. Speaking of the Wizards, they got Markieff Morris. From the Phoenix Suns. So the Suns did finally send him packing for DeJuan Blair, Chris Humphries, and a predicted first-round pick. Portland Trailblazers absorbed Brian Roberts into cap space and received a second-round pick from the Miami Heat. The Thunder got Randy Foy from the Denver Nuggets for DJ Augustine, Steve Novak, and two second-round picks. Cleveland Cavaliers got Channing Frye. Orlando Magic received Jarrod Cunningham, and Blazers received Anderson Varejão. They then cut Varejão. Utah Jazz received Sheldon Mack from the Hawks for second round pick. Pelicans, Jahnel Stokes from the Miami Heat, second round pick. The Detroit Pistons got Tobias Harris for Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova. And let's see, the Hornets received Courtney Lee. Memphis Grizzlies received Chris Anderson, Birdman, PJ Heston, two conditional second round picks, two future second round picks. Miami Heat received Brian Roberts. So, definitely some movement at the deadline. Not quite as busy as last year, and no big names really. I guess the biggest name maybe is Jeff Green.
Yeah, I was disappointed. Like, I was expecting at least one
Me
big
too.
name.
My old prediction went out the window.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I was so confident that Houston would get rid of Dwight, or I mean, they probably wouldn't have James Harden and that, but it was always a possibility. But I was suspecting that Dwight would be more the one to go. So yeah, it kind of bummed, but I guess it should make for an exciting off season, you know, that you know, especially the ones that are unrestricted free agents can go where they want, sort of thing. So,
and with that big big boost in cap space,
yeah,
might see some huge deals signed, and that's obviously why Dwight Howard looks looking to opt out so we can get an even bigger deal under the new TV contract when that kicks in.
Do you honestly think you? I mean, is it kind of like what the whole situation at the beginning of the season, like Derrick Rose was saying that, you know, he's like looking at those options, and that do you think he's would be kind of dreaming to think that he'd get that?
Well, I mean, you look at some of the contracts that have already been starting to be handed out, and it's kind of like $15 million is the new $8 million.
Okay,
you know, like role players 10 years ago would kind of be getting that between 5 and 10 million kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now they're getting 10 to 15 million per year, so the salaries are just going up. So under the new under the new cap rules and such, paying for that much for Dwight Howard, especially if he goes somewhere where he can be more effective, because he is still, it may sound weird to say, but I think Howard is sometimes a bit underrated. I mean, I know there's problems with the issue, with the attitude and everything, but, and he's not the post player that he really should be as far as having low post skills, but he's still a pretty damn good player.
He definitely has his moments, and he could still be like a 15 and 15 or even a 15 and 20 guy easy.
Yeah. I believe he could be 20 and 10, but James Harden is taking a lot of shots.
Yeah.
As is Trevor Ariza and a couple other players ahead of him in the pecking order. It's like fourth or fifth these days in the shot attempts on the Rockets.
Yeah.
So if he goes somewhere where he can be the number one option, whether he is truly a player who can lead a team anywhere is another debate entirely, but he certainly can put up 20 and 10, I believe, and if someone's willing to pay that much, I think there'll be a market for him, but it's just that no one kind of wanted to trade for him without that assurance, because you're going to have to give up some assets and then lose him for nothing. We saw what happened with the Lakers a couple of years ago. Of course, Bynum never really recovered, but nevertheless, you know, teams don't want to give up that much. Just looking at a couple of players who got cut, David Lee got cut by the Celtics and has just signed with the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah,
I thought he might latch on with a team that was a bit closer to being a title contender, to be honest.
Same. So, and then,
although the Mavericks are doing quite well this season, but you know, not to the level of a Warriors or a Spurs or Thunder. Yeah,
kind of ruined a joke that he'd go back to the Warriors and then after leaving or being traded. But
I think they might have changed the rules that you can't return there for a year, or it might just be if you're cut.
Okay.
But there is a rule that might prevent him from going back to the Warriors anyway.
Okay.
Could have gone to the Cavaliers, because Anderson Varejão, who was cut by the Blazers, he has gone to the Warriors after, of course, playing all of his career for the Cavaliers, if I recall correctly. So here's a conspiracy theory. Like Derek Fisher with the Thunder in 2012 or thereabouts, Varejão has gone to the Warriors to bring them down from the inside. How about that?
The inside man.
Yeah. They'll get a special ring made for him if the Cavs beat the Warriors in the finals. You know, like, he just messes up on the pick and roll and Curry runs into him, loses the ball. Maybe.
That last, 5-10-second turnover,
You know, just conspiracy. If it happens, the conspiracy nuts will go crazy. So, doesn't take much.
2 years later, discover that there was, a secret offshore Cayman account with a undisclosed amount of money.
Sorry, I cannot possibly reveal details about that customer's secret illegal account.
Yeah. Oh crap, I shouldn't have said
that. Oh crap, I should have said that's it was illegal.
Too much, yeah.
So, a pretty solid pick up there for the Warriors, who really need the help, obviously, let's face it.
Oh yeah, they're struggling so bad this year,
Struggling so bad. Well, they did lose by 32 to the Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard, the biggest all-star snub this year and last year as well, before he was named as a replacement, dropped 51. You know, he was hitting all the Stephen Curry shots. He's the one that now the 2K has to have to code for him as well, because he was also in video game mode there. But they lost. They did lose by 32, which is the same margin of loss that the Bulls, the largest loss of the Bulls, suffered in the 96 season when they went 72-10. So the Warriors still have the best record through 50-51 games at the moment. It's looking pretty likely that they're really going to challenge that 72-10.
If they do.
Although they did almost blow a game to the Clippers. The Clippers bench in the last 2 minutes of that game that seemed there was going to be a blowout, suddenly got it within three. And if not for C.J. Wilcox throwing up a wild shot at the end, could have gone into overtime. And who knows? It was bizarre to watch that game unfold, because it looked like it was over, and suddenly, with 5 seconds left, it was a game again. So, but that's the thing about the Warriors. You know, they're still playing really well, but I think they are beatable. You know, it's very, very hard, but you're sort of seeing that teams are getting closer and closer. And when they were going on that big run to start the season, you know, you did and eventually fell to the Bucks, you could see teams just getting a little bit closer.
Yeah.
A little bit closer to doing it. So I think, you know, that I think they will drop a few more on the way in this last stretch because they are facing, they've got a couple more against the Thunder and the Spurs, both of whom they have obviously beaten so far. But, well, you know, maybe this is just the Bulls fan of me hoping that they don't get the record. Obviously, if they do, you got to tip the hat to them. But yeah, I think that, you know, it's a long season. There are some cracks appearing because, you know, winning 70 games is easier said than done. Like making a realistic basketball video game, if it was that easy, it would have happened many times by now. You know? So,
yeah.
And a few teams came close. Obviously, the Bulls did it. The Bulls came close to doing it 2 years in a row with a 72 and a 69 wins back-to-back, which doesn't get mentioned a whole lot, except by Jeff Van Gundy. Love me some Jeff Van Gundy because he's the only one that makes sense on ESPN amongst the color commentators. So that is the race is on. We're in the final stretch of the season. They are, it's within their grasp. So I guess we'll see whether it happens. But you know, as I said earlier, your Heat almost knocked them out today for their sixth loss of the season. But and that was without Bosch. And the Heat are actually on the verge of shutting Bosch down for the season again. That they're urging him to do it, to shut it down. Looks like, despite denying the earlier reports, he does have problems with the blood clots again. And understatement, but not good.
Yeah, the doctor's urging him to. And I think from a report that I've read is basically within probably the next 18 to 20 hours, from approximately at this time that we're recording, and he'll meet with Mickey Arison and Pat Riley and you know they'll discuss the options and that. But yeah, it's probably going to be a safe bet given that, you know, if it's something that's could cost him his life, then yeah, they probably need to shut him down. And whether he looks at having to retire.
What his future's like, yeah. I mean, if this has happened the last couple of years, I mean, so this is not an issue that's going away. That is his health, his life that he has to look after. Mm. You know, still a young man of 31, as opposed to myself, where I refer to myself as an old man of 31.
And I'm an even older man of 34.
So I think we, you know, yes, when you start to see the players that you remember coming into the league, and they're the same age as you, and they're getting on there, so. Hopefully he makes the right decision, and I don't think they'll let him, you know, clear him and let him take any unnecessary risks. So,
and you know, Miami are one of those teams that are generally sort of family orientated in that sense, and you know, yeah, you don't see him making a stupid mistake like to risk his life and all that stuff. So, yeah, I see him making a smart decision if it's severe enough where...
If he's got to shut it down, they'll shut him down, basically.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens in it. But yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, sort of, that it has happened and his career has maybe cut short because it would seem that he's got quite a few years left if he can, you know, overcome this problem.
Yeah,
but obviously can't play on blood thinners and everything. That's dangerous as well. So,
I guess we'll
see, as we said last week, but it's... Yeah, that's not promising news. That it's happened 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Again, I'll put this forward. Like, if he does have to retire, and obviously Bosch has that really big contract, does the team still have to pay it?
There might be like a insurance might cover it or something. There might be some injury as far as the salary cap. Might be some kind of injured exception if he's forced to retire for medical reasons.
And then leading into that with the free agency that comes in, you know, if they're going to make a play for Durant or, you know.
Well, that's right. And is Wade still going to be around? Because, you know, he's on that 1 year deal and sort of.
Yeah. And, you know, you got Whiteside, who's also a free agent. So would that, given if again, this is at the stage, we'll say it's speculative state that, you know, if Bosch has to retire and there is a medical condition clause sort of thing, where they won't have to pay the full contract, that gives them that much extra in their cap space.
Mm.
And, you know, that would mean that they could potentially keep Hussein Whiteside and signed one of those big guys that, you know, they'd be looking to get.
Maybe so, yeah.
So that, is a potential positive out of a negative in that sense. But yeah, I mean, it'd be disappointing to see Bosch to end his career, potentially have to end his career in this format.
Absolutely, and you know Pat Riley is pretty one sharp customer.
Oh yeah.
Not just in the hair, not just the slick back hair, but also as his role in the front office as well, and obviously accomplished as a coach too. So I do think they'll be able to make it work and retool and get back to find what some common ground with Wade and everything. But yeah, that will be a shame with Bosch. But I mean, even if they rebound, as you said, from the financial standpoint and make it work with a cap and everything, with a injured player, disabled player, exception, whatever. Yeah, the main thing is that guy's career has been ended at 31 when he still has some quality years left. So hopefully that's not the case, but I guess only time will tell. And I'm sure that he'll continue to listen to a doctor's advice. One would certainly hope so. But before we wrap up with some bold predictions, just need to mention this. Sean Marks, former NBA player and national player for New Zealand, one of the few Kiwis to play in the NBA, which is always, along with the Aussies, it's great to see the Kiwis in there as well. He has been hired as the Brooklyn Nets general manager. He has been the assistant GM, I believe, in San Antonio up until recently, up until he got the job offer. So my only question is, since this is, I think that makes him the first Kiwi to like hold a high front office position. Would it not?
From my knowledge, it seems like.
I can't, I don't think Kirk Penny is running any NBA teams,
No.
so I'd say Sean Marks is the first Australian or Kiwi, New Zealander, former player to get this front office job. So this is my question to you, Ben. Since this is a New Zealander who has done something really well, how do we, as Australians, claim this as a as an achievement for Australia, like a Crowded House or Russell Crowe or someone else from New Zealand who has become an honorary Aussie because they're doing well at something?
Oh, obviously, we'd go into the tip tactic of did he even holiday in Australia? Did he even play in the NBL for even one game? Then we'd claim him.
Has he ever said the word Australia
Yeah.
out loud before, in any context? Yeah.
Well,
But
let's
no,
not go and
that's
say
good.
fish and chips without it sounding like fish and
Fish
chips.
and chips.
Yeah.
Yep. Apologies, X, if you're listening. That's
And Mark, sorry.
yeah. But yeah, it's that's cool to see. That's cool to see. And another one of those guys that actually is legitimately talented, kind of like a Brian Scalabrine in that he becomes a bit of a mascot, yet has legitimate basketball talent, which so it's kind of unfortunate that they're treated as a bit of a joke sometimes, but at the same time, very popular with fans. Sean Marks and your Sean Marks and your Matt Bonners and Brian Scalabrines.
Yeah.
There's your big three right there.
Yeah. There's a team that will t a trio that'll take you to 72-10.
At least,
Yeah.
So, best of luck to Sean Marks in Brooklyn. I don't think they have any draft picks, so at least he doesn't have to worry about that. On one hand, he doesn't have to worry about drafting because they don't have draft picks.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they don't have draft picks. So, yeah, best of luck. That's a tough assignment, but that is cool to see him get that gig, nevertheless. But that is bringing us towards the end of our show, episode number 147 of the NLC podcast. We have one more item of business to deal with this week, and that is, of course, our bold predictions. Hope you're enjoying the effects that I put in that in post. The reverb it entertains me way too much when I do it. But what doesn't entertain me is my record in bold predictions, which has fallen to 0-11 because no big name got traded at the deadline. I'm not counting Jeff Green. Fine player, but I'm big player that big name that has to be a Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, someone like that, Pau Gasol, whoever. No one moved. Therefore, I am 0-11. The 76ers did not beat the Pelicans last week either, Ben. So while you are doing much better than me at 5-11 or 5-6, if you prefer, you didn't get your prediction last week either. So what are you going to go for this week?
I was going to go that the Spurs will beat the Rockets from memory.
In Houston,
Yes.
so you're going Spurs over Rockets. That's a pretty. I like that pick. I, you know, that's That's probably going to make you get you back to 500, so 6 of 12. I swore I wouldn't do this. I swore I would not do anything to do with the Warriors again, because even when I said they'd win by 40, they let me down. So the Warriors are not doing it. But you know what? You know what? I'm going to do it. Going to go, you know, I'm going to go against my instincts, you know, and this may be again wishful thinking because of the Bulls holding on to 72-10, but I'm going to say that the Thunder will defeat the Warriors in their second matchup this season. The rematch, it's being played in Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant's playing pretty well. Russell Westbrook's playing well. Randy Foy's there. So just to throw that out there, I'm going to say the Thunder are going to defeat the Warriors. So I'm going to bowl again with my bowl prediction. Watch me drop to Norton 12. But you know what? It's bold. That's the name of the game. So that's my prediction. I'm sticking with it this week. So Thunder over the Warriors in Oklahoma City is my pick. Your pick is the Spurs over the Rockets in Houston. Can I get on the board? You know, it's, at this point, it's a running joke even. Like, I'm not going to catch you. I'm not going to do well in these predictions probably. Maybe when we get to the playoffs. I seem to do okay in the playoffs. Not too bad in the playoff predictions. Usually. So maybe that's when I'll get a few points on the board. But you know what? As long as everyone's having fun listening to me fail miserably, It's like the 2003 All-Star Game, which you noted as one of your favorites.
Yep.
Michael Jordan missed his first 7 shots, but did he stop shooting? No, that's right. You know, it's did Michael Jordan quit when he had trouble getting past the Pistons, seeing the Bulls in the late 80s? No, they kept at it. So, you know, what can I say? I've failed over and over and over in my predictions, and that is why I will one day succeed.
The goal is to get one before the end of the season, or before the playoffs.
It's a noble goal, and setting the bar very low. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 147 of the NLC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we encourage you to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also catch us on Stitcher, or keep streaming the show every week on the NLSC. Love for you to connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC, Twitter, at the NLSC, and keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com. Going to have lots more content coming your way. The great stuff from the modding community, our videos, our columns, and future episodes of the podcast. If you love basketball gaming, why aren't you visiting us every day? Come on. We're here for you. You know, we're your source of basketball video games. So, yeah, so check us out every single day. Bookmark us, too. You know, that's it. That's it for the plugs, and that is it for the podcast. So I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And remember, just because you've called for the pick doesn't mean the lane is open.
Nice.
So, you know, just before you put your head down, just check to see whether you've got that open lane to the basket or you'll get stuffed. See you next week.
See you next week, everyone.